I love the story of Zacchaeus, don't you? It's one of those stories where you look at the life change that Jesus can make when he comes and saves a soul. That's that life change that I hope each one in here has truly had. But I want to just offer right now that if you have not had that life change, and it truly would be a life change, it would be something very significant. If you have not had that, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, to come talk with me at the end of the service and find out what it is to have that life change, how to have that life change because of Jesus. Jesus, who in our Sunday school class we talked about his resurrection. Jesus wasn't just a good man, he wasn't just a prophet, he's the Son of God. He didn't just live and die, but he lived, he died, and he rose again from the dead in a perfect body. He today, bodily, physically, sits at God's right hand, and God sits on the throne of the universe. And it tells us in Scripture that Jesus knows us by name, and he prays even prayers that we don't know we need. And he'll pray for us to Almighty God. We can have that. We can have Jesus as our advocate. And I hope that you will make sure that happens for you. Let this day be your day of salvation if you've not come to that point in your life. As we look at our health, we might look at our stage in life, our job, if we're still working, our family, our church, or numerous other parts of our existence, and we sometimes have the tendency to get discouraged. If and when we allow discouragement to gain a foothold, even for a time, it causes depression. It brings us to start blaming other things or other people. It brings stress in our lives. And if we leave it unchecked, eventually discouragement leads to despair. None of this is healthy. None of it is healthy. I remember during my freshman year of Bible college, I came home to my home church. Sometime through that year, I'd had quite a few Bible classes and so on and so forth, and had seen a lot more of other churches and so that kind of thing. And my pastor, after church, invited me over to his house, and we were chatting it up and just talking about a lot of things. And finally, he asked me. He said, "Kurt, you've been at college for a while now, and now you're back here at church. What is your impression of our church?" And I responded this way, something to this effect: "Pastor, I see a church filled with people who are just going through the motions of Christianity. They're just playing church with no real concern but to put action to what they say they believe. They seem to have no concern for the lost, and though you are preaching the word and equipping them, it doesn't seem like they're interested. Don't you get discouraged?" I said to him. Though the pastor agreed with my synopsis of the church and the church people, he took great offense at my last insinuating question when I said, "Don't you get discouraged." And he pointed his finger at me and he said, "Kurt, God did not call me to be discouraged. He called me to be faithful." That has stuck with me ever since that day. Because, you know, life comes. And God's allowed me to be in ministry. Now, I haven't always been in ministry, but in ministry as a layperson or whatever. And I've come to bumps that could really lead to discouragement. And I've had to keep that in my mind. Kurt, God didn't call you to discouragement. He called you to be faithful. William Ward said this: "Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present and distrust of the future. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of beauty, unconcern for the needs of our fellow man, and unbelief in the promises of old. It is impatience with time, immaturity of thought, and impoliteness to God. Whew! That's scathing. And yet, we all are subject at some point in time, it's not a matter of if but when, we are subject to being discouraged. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. The passage we're about to read is near the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, actually, is in prison. John knew that his life was going to be over very shortly. And so he wanted absolute confirmation that he had achieved his life purpose of preparing the way for the Messiah. John sent some of his disciples to question Jesus to make sure, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus told them to report back to John that he was causing the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. These acts would be known to John as the prophetic fulfillment of the Messiah, and he would then be able to die in peace. Jesus took this opportunity then to reach out to the people who heard his response to John's disciples, and he said in Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 27, he said these things: "All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What we just read was an instance where Jesus openly claimed his position as God's Son. He then stated a fact that no one will know God unless the Son, which was himself, wanted them to know God. That's pretty something. No one could know God on any kind of level, personal or otherwise, unless the Son wanted them to know God. That makes it quite exclusive, doesn't it? Jesus then could say, "And I'm picking the prominent. I'm going to pick the influencers. I'm going to pick the rulers, and I'm going to reveal God the Father to them." He could have said that, but he didn't. He didn't. He right away invites everyone and anyone who is discouraged. You hear what I'm saying? He invites everyone and anyone who is discouraged. Matthew 11:28. He had just said, "No one knows the Father except who the Son reveals him to." And he says in verse 28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened,
and I will give you rest.
We who have repented of our sinfulness and called upon Jesus as Lord of our life and Savior of our eternity, we have no reason to be, and especially no reason to remain, discouraged. If we choose to be discouraged about any situation in our lives, be it personal or something outside of us like job or church, then we have to be honest with ourselves and come to the conclusion we are the cause of our own discouragement. We are. Ourselves, not somebody else. We are causing our own discouragement. Those of us who know Jesus, understand, Jesus was calling people who were weary and burdened. Those were people who didn't know Him. He was calling them to know Him. And therefore, knowing Him, they would know the Father. So those of us who claim to know Him, if we are discouraged, we've caused it ourselves. And if, now listen, if, barring some physical, hormonal, or natural chemical imbalance, because I understand that there are physical ailments that hit us, if we let discouragement linger in our lives, then we are the cause of our own despair, not someone else, not environment, not circumstances. We are the cause of our own despair. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Paul said this, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not get tired of doing good. For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith." Again, if we let discouragement take hold, it's not that we won't have a moment of discouragement, but if we let it take hold, then we only have ourselves to blame for the corruption of our emotions and our spirit and our relationships. Yet, when one gets discouraged and keeps it, that's when bitterness sets in. That's when we hear among church people blaming each other for lack of finances, lack of attendance, or whatever it might be. So we must not get tired, though, of doing good. That's the remedy. Don't let ourselves get tired of doing good. You see, when we do that, we will reap the good instead of pointing fingers at each other. Instead of this discouragement and bitterness and stress that we allow to come in this blame game, Paul says that we must not allow ourselves to get tired or discouraged in this good thing that we are doing. We're not to ever give up. Not to ever give up. What did Jesus say for those who are weary and burdened? He will give you rest. You see, that's what my pastor was teaching me when he pointed his finger at me and said, "Kurt, God did not call me to be discouraged. He called me to be faithful." He was teaching me that it was no place of his as a child of God to allow discouragement to take a foothold in his life. But that we are to continue doing good. The good that we're to do, to focus on, is that light burden that Jesus was talking about after he says, "I will give you rest." Then he said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But what is that light burden that will lead to us reaping a great reward? You see, it's not the work of just what the world might think is good. But is the work of God? What is the work of God? Well, God said that His work was reconciling humankind
to himself. God's work is the work of salvation, discipleship. That's the work we're to be a part of. That's the work we are to focus on. That's the work that will keep us from discouragement.
It's the work of sharing the gospel, telling our testimony of Jesus' work in our lives, and living life like we mean it. In short, it's focusing on being faithful to loving people, to loving Jesus. Inside this church, but hold it, and outside this church. You know, Jesus told us, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, very familiar to most of us. Then Jesus came near and said to his disciples, "All authority has been given to me, and in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember," I love this part, "remember, I am with you always," Jesus said, "to the end of the age." The Apostle Paul understood this as the good to be focused on. And he didn't allow discouragement to rule him, even when things became very terrible for him. This man had been beaten. He had been thrown off a wall. He had been stoned. He had been imprisoned. Eventually, he was beheaded. Why? For that good work of sharing the gospel, of sharing his testimony of what Jesus had done in his life, of living a life according to Jesus' commands. And what did he say about it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said this: "We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." This doesn't mean that we won't have moments where we choose to be discouraged. I'm going to have to admit, this past Thursday, I had half a day where I chose to be discouraged. And I was more discouraged that half a day than I can remember in any recent past. I prayed, no, I yelled to God. I did. And I chose to even anguish. When I got home late that night. The only person still awake was my daughter. I went into her room and I just told her, I said, "I've had a bad day. That's really rare for me. I can't even remember the last time I would have said I had a bad day." And I said, "I need a hug." And she was there to give me one. And I needed it. And I told her, because she was kind of distraught. She hadn't seen Daddy like that before. Not in her remembrance. And yet, I was able to tell her. I said, "Honey, don't worry." Because with confidence, I was able to say that I knew that tomorrow, it would be over. Because I was not going to allow Satan to work in my life. And I wasn't going to allow myself to choose a foothold for discouragement. Why? Because I know what all of us can know. I know that the Lord hears my cry. I know that He said, "Come to me all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest." You see, God said through the psalmist in Psalm 34, verses 17 to 19, He said, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. Many adversities come to the one who is righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all." I had to experience that. I chose to step into a
time period of discouragement. And I know we all do that. You see, we're all going to experience adversities, all of us who are children of God. And one of those adversities is the spirit of discouragement. We must guard against it. And if, and I really should say when, it rears its ugly head, we must cry out to the Lord and trade Him our burden for His. And take up His easy yoke and His light burden and get to work doing good. The battle against discouragement is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the thing is believers in Jesus, true believers, Christians, have all the weaponry we need to battle things like discouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God, listen to this, for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. We have powerful weaponry given to us by God, and when the battle seems to be going badly, we have to be honest with ourselves that it's going badly. We have to be honest with ourselves, like I had to be honest with myself, that I chose discouragement. But then, when I admitted that, and when we admit those things, I cried out to the Lord. I took captive those ungodly thoughts. He rescued me. That's for all of us. We cry out to the Lord. We take captive those ungodly thoughts, and He will rescue us. The bottom line is this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Brothers and sisters, let's remember, to keep discouragement away, we must focus on that which is good and doing it by loving people to loving Jesus. The challenge for this week is for each of us to take captive our thoughts, especially when it comes to discouragement. Take captive of those thoughts. Call out to God. Trade our burden for His light burden. Focus then on doing good, and that good is loving people, loving Jesus. And that's our task this week. Will you bow your head with me in prayer? Holy God, I know there's not a person among us, if we're honest, that doesn't have times of discouragement. Sometimes we even let it take foothold and fester and even mold into despair. Sometimes we think that comparing ourselves to others, we think that what we're going through is much harder than someone else and they wouldn't understand. But God, may we be honest. May we be honest with ourselves. May I be honest with myself. When discouragement comes in, it's because I've allowed it. I've caused it. I haven't done my part in something. And that You understand, even if I think no one else does, that You have experienced much more
and without discouragement. May we then be a people in the body of Zora Baptist Church who will be honest with ourselves, that we will then cry out to you, reminding ourselves that you are Lord and that you will take care of your righteous ones. May we remind ourselves that you have a light burden and you want us to put our heavy burden at your feet. May we trade those burdens for yours. May we become focused then on doing good, and we know that good is doing our part to loving people, to loving Jesus, to sharing the gospel, to living it, to sharing our testimony and the work you've done in our lives, and even being honest with people about our discouragement and how you stepped in. We give this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like